This is Katie and Kate Carbondale and Geek Speak. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, with Roaring Fork Help Desk in studio with Louie the Computer Guy. Oh, did it again.
Better turn me on, man.
No electrons for you.
Hey, Matt.
Hey. How are we?
You going to introduce Jacob? Or did you already do that?
No. And Jacob Sarver with Roaring Fork Help Desk.
Yes.
Hey.
Let's see here. Nice. All right. So, you wanted to see if robots would take your job?
Yes, I've discovered this website called willrobotstakemyjob.com. And I'm actually entering in some fairly unsavory search terms here. And apparently, well, I won't even go there. I think the FCC won't let me talk about some of this. But anyway, so my first search was robot technician.
And what was it? I think I saw an 18%.
It was 86.
No, so there's 86% chance that I'm going to be taken over. So the robots are pretty confident that they're going to learn how to fix themselves.
All right. Now, how about robot engineer or robot designer?
Okay, let's put that in.
All right. Well, yeah. So if you have any...
robot designer, commercial and industrial designers. It comes up with a...
Okay.
Let's see.
So
you want to get... It says that I'm total... That's a totally safe industry to be in. So yeah, you know, if there's any of our listeners out there are like deciding what they want to be when they grow up, this would probably be a good website to start with, don't you think?
So robot repair technician is very low on the list. Got it.
Yeah, you do not want to go there, but it basically says automation risk level, totally safe. There's only a 3.7% probability of automation. And however, it's not it also shows you the projected growth percentage for that industry, and it's not projected to grow a whole... Oh, actually, it's only supposed to grow by 2% by 2024. So your median annual wage will be $67,790 or $32.59 an hour, and the number of people employed presently are 31,860. So... It's actually some pretty good information.
Yeah,
you know, it's whether the robots are going to take your job or not. You can learn. You know, it's kind of an all in one.
Yeah, it gives you some other good information
to learn about different jobs. You know, so let's.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK 963-2976.
Give us a call. We'll help you fix your robot. Right.
Yeah.
As long as your robot runs Android. iOS or Windows or Mac OS.
Or Linux.
Yeah.
Or
Linux. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. I can do Linux. That's fine.
How about Commodore 64?
As long as it's running Linux.
Will Commodore 64 run Linux?
Well, there's still some distributions of Linux that will run on a floppy disk.
Okay.
So as long as we can get the right architecture compiled onto a floppy disk and get it onto a Commodore 64, we should be good.
All right. Well, I'm having a lot of fun with this website. I'm looking up fast food worker now. Let's see here.
96%?
81% chance of getting replaced by a robot.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's already robots that do that.
Projected growth of that industry, -15% by 2024.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I guess you could say that if you wanted to get into a job that, you know, but you only wanted to do it for a very short period of time, that'd kind of be a good job to get into. You'd be guaranteed that you couldn't drag it out.
You know, then you could get a picket sign that says, robots took my job?
Exactly. As a matter of fact, there's a link here at the bottom to print your own robots took my job sign. No, I'm just kidding. Which, if they don't have that, they should. You know,
yeah, they really should have some nicely... And it needs to be created by an AI, just on principle.
It's got to be made by a robot.
Yes,
absolutely.
So they have to have some AI designed picket signs for you.
So, yeah. So, have you ever heard of Uber Eats? Do you know what Uber Eats is?
Sounds familiar, but did we talk about it a couple years ago? Or
I remember
something about it, but I don't remember what at this point.
It's basically if you live in a big city, you can get a Uber Eats will basically, they probably have an app, I'm guessing. I'm a little bit undereducated, but basically it's a food delivery service that uses Uber to, you know, and they're saying, what is it? Something like, 92 different restaurants. McDonald's. Yeah, in Seattle, you can basically get food from 92 different restaurants delivered to your house using Uber Eats.
Excellent.
So, yeah. So my question would be, when is that going to come to the Valley?
Oh, it's not even in some big cities yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that means we can make our own, right?
There you go.
Whoa.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had my short little career as an Uber driver last year. It was about this time I think I was going for it. And but, you know, I don't have a lot of patience. I logged on a couple of times and nobody picked me. And I just went, oh, this is no good, you know.
So, yeah, you have to have the population density.
Yeah. I don't know what would happen if I tried to log on to Uber and drive now. They haven't sent me like a, you know, a Dear John letter or anything, you know. But there's got to be an expiration date.
Do they send you a lot of like updates or like newsletters or anything like that for being an Uber driver?
You know what was funny is I was just deluged with text messages immediately after I was onboarded. The crazy thing about it is that all the text messages were as if I hadn't been onboarded yet. It was like,
so you already signed everything and
show up at such and such a place. Crowds are expected to be light and get your vehicle inspected. I'm like, I already did that. I already got my vehicle inspected, you know? And it's like, oh, show up at such and such a time and, you know, and we'll get your medical exam for you, you know? And, so anyway, it's, and unfortunately those stopped, deluge of text messages did. So our number is 963-2976 if you want to call in and we'll help you fix your computer or your printer, your Android, your iOS, your Mac,
Linux server, whatever.
Mm-hmm. So what do you guys know about the new Xbox One X?
I don't know. You just mentioned that a few moments ago. So I haven't.
And I educated you about that. I told you guys a couple of
PC gamers.
Are you generation Y and are you?
I'm at the beginning of the millennials.
Okay, got it. And what generation are you, Jacob? What do you identify with?
Pretty sure I'm still on the millennial list.
Generation WTF? we got a call.
You're on with the geeks.
Hey, my name's Adam. I had a question.
Hello, you're on with geeks.
Technology. Hello.
I can hear him.
All right.
Hey, I have a question.
Just
where
I might not have utility on again. All right.
Talk again.
Hey.
There we go.
All right. Go ahead. What's your question?
Hey, so I'm wondering about, like, what kind of challenges humanity would face in the process of installing a global communication system, just like what we have now with cell phones, except totally free and accessible to everyone worldwide.
Pretty sure Elon Musk was talking about this about a year or so ago. He's planning on launching low Earth orbit satellites for internet access for free.
Yeah. And Google was going to do it with balloons.
Yeah.
If you turn on your radio, we'll be able to hear you a little better.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So, you know, I think infrastructure is still the problem. You know, I can't see that really going anywhere until we get to the point where cell phones work everywhere, right?
Okay.
You know, that would be my take on it. It's like, I mean, cell phone is actually a fairly remedial technology, and it doesn't really work that well. You know, I probably drop 3 or 4 calls a day. And, you know, so I would say until they can, you know, get something working like that. And, you know, the problem is, like, I tell clients all the time, they ask me, you know, why is my HughesNet satellite internet? Because, you know, the next place you go is, what if we use satellites? And, you know, what a lot of people don't think about is that a satellite is 22,000 miles up in space.
A geosynchronous, low geosynchronous.
Yeah. Yeah. And so when you ask for something over your HughesNet internet, it takes 22,000 the signal travels 22,000 miles up to the satellite, 22,000 miles to the ground station. Then the ground station goes and gets whatever it is that you're looking for. And if it happens to be on the other side of the world, God knows how far that goes. And then it has to go all the way back to the ground station, another 22,000 miles up, another 22,000 miles down. So that data has traveled 88,000 miles, not mentioning its ground travel. So until they can get that technology worked out.
Yeah. Or they may get, who was that? One of the, there's a Japanese company who wanted to do low Earth orbit satellites like that, where the, you know, they're kind of like the constellation of the Iridium constellation for your GPS or something like that, where there's always X number of satellites that you can, you know, see as long as you have a reasonable chunk of the sky showing to you. And so they were talking about, you know, that then that's only traveling, you know, 400 miles instead of 88,000 kinds of things.
Yep.
So people are actually attempting this.
Oh yeah, believe me, yeah. The only thing they haven't really gone with is embeddable chips yet, you know. But I wouldn't doubt you're going to see embeddable technology pretty soon, you know. Them, like, you can basically go in and get chipped just like your dog.
And so, there's a few people that have already done things like that, so they can, the house knows where they are.
So they can track their teenagers. Is that?
Yeah exactly. Yeah. So when they jump out the window, that they know.
So
there's nothing with GPS. Even the chip of your dog isn't doing GPS.
No.
There's RFID right now, which people get implanted a lot.
Yeah, which is basically a little chip that's radio activated. So there's a little signal going out, and it interacts with the chip, and then the chip sends a signal back. But the power is all supplied externally.
Yep.
You know.
So anyway, I hope that helps.
I got a question for Ichi. Where do you get your statistics? What's a good source for information on things?
Well, let's see. I personally kind of bop back and forth. I get a lot of really good, you know, what I think is fairly untainted news from the BBC. And the BBC has a really good technology page. And Kim Komodo, I don't know if you're familiar with her or not. Or is it Commando?
I don't know.
Yeah. I think
it might be Commando.
I think it's Kim Komodo. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Kim, if you're listening. Kim Komodo is another. She's like the technology chick who's been online for years. And she seems to have, you know, pretty good. She doesn't have much of an axe to grind, you know. So that's my take. I'll pass it on to these other guys. So, where do you get your stats and stuff?
Slashdot and Reddit, and then the like FBI and CDC and wherever else I can find.
Got it.
Good compiled information.
Yeah, not Breitbart.com.
All right.
Not unless you need a laugh.
How about you, Jacob? Where do you do your research?
I always try to pick from multiple sources. So whenever you see something that says whatever, look for a piece of media on the other side and look for something in the middle.
Okay. As a member of the younger generation, exercising critical thinking skills right here in real time. So,
yes.
Anyway. Rare. All right. Well, hey, thanks a lot for your call.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
All right. Have a good one. Take care. Bye. That was a great question.
Yeah.
I would basically dovetail onto that and say that I do a second verification, if not a third, on, you know, pretty much anything.
Yeah, especially if it's outlandish.
Yes. Well, yeah, I guess I'm kind of lucky that way, but you know, I generally don't assert a particular statistic or something to a customer or to the listening audience until I've done a little bit more research on it, and so. Anyway, I certainly don't get it from clickbait news stories. So,
because you have an ad blocker? Oh, wait. Yes. Common sense. That's right.
No. I have a clickbait filter that like moves all the clickbait to the top of the page so I can really get to the straight to the juicy stuff. You know?
So. You're listening to GeekSpeak on KDNK 963-2976. 970-963-2976.
Yeah. So we were talking a little bit about Venmo earlier.
Not to be confused with Vimo.
Vimo. Yes. What is Vimo?
Vimo is a hosted video site. So it's kind of like YouTube.
But you mean Vimeo.
Vimeo? I they're all
okay. All right.
I'm dyslexic, so
don't cheat the E, man. That's not good.
Hey, I have visible E's and all or visible B's and kinds of stuff for my pronunciations.
Okay, sorry,
so it's all good.
To interrupt you.
It's all good.
So, yeah.
All right. So anyway, there's a money sharing tool that you use, and it sounds like they may have an additional competitor.
Mm-hmm. Well, money sharing, I like that term. I've never heard it called that before. I'm like, where do I sign up? It's like, Louis wants you to share your money with him. Wouldn't that be fun? It's like, you know, you can make a pitch, you know, to other people. Go, this is why you should share your money with me.
Is that Kickstarter?
You know?
Oh,
there you go. I guess that's a good point, you know. But yeah, it's I think I'm pronouncing it right. It's called Zelle or Z-E-L-L-E. And like I was telling you guys before the show, I kind of found out the hard way. I started using Venmo like about a year ago. And for those of you who haven't used Venmo, it uses an app on your phone. And you just, I think basically when you first set up your account, you just put in your bank account number and your routing number and your name as it appears on your statement. And it links you right up to your bank account. It's kind of like PayPal, I guess, that way. And then if one of the times we use it is when we go out, you know, say we take my daughter and her boyfriend, we go out to dinner with them, and my daughter knows that I'm too much of a cheapskate to buy dinner, so she'll Venmo me $40 like during dinner and go, here, just pick up the tab, Dad, you know. So I get to act like a big shot and go, oh, we got this, you know, take the tab, do my thing with it. But anyway, but I didn't know that when people Venmo you money, you have to like un-Venmo it. You have to like transfer it over to your bank account manually. You have to go in and do that. So after using it for a year, I logged on to my Venmo account and went, wow, I got $450 sitting in there. I had no idea. And so that was kind of a nice surprise, you know. And but this new app basically uses a network called, let's see, it is called Clear Exchange. And I guess Clear Exchange just directly links your email address or username to your bank account. And it can be used by a number of different, it's used by a bunch of different banks, and it's used by a number of different money sharing services. And so this new one, I guess there's no middle, there's no intermediate step of having to move it to your bank. It just goes straight into your bank account. They're saying within hours rather than days. So.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah.
Sounds anyway. Like asking to be a security problem right there.
Yeah.
So don't use the password of log me in.
Yeah.
Or let me in. Or
stay out.
Stay out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Use a really good password.
Yep.
Since it is money,
always that's always a good thing to do, you know.
Yeah, we haven't really ranted about that for a while.
Yeah,
if any of the aforementioned passwords are ones that you use, change them now.
Yes. Yeah, if your password is ABC123, we've been watching you out there. So it's so let's see. We were talking a little bit about Reality Winner before the show. Let me see if I kept the article on screen.
Who is a NSA?
She's like the new, I don't want to say Richard Snowden or whatever, but
another whistleblower from one of many.
She leaked, I think, a bunch of CIA documents. I do know this really, truly, but yeah.
All right. So, Gavin, the director, wanted us to talk about Google's new ad blocker for a few.
Okay.
Well, I looked at it real briefly, and it looks like one of the next versions of Google Chrome is going to have a built-in ad blocker, but Google themselves is an ad company, so it seems a little nefarious to me.
Yeah, supposedly they're looking at getting rid of unacceptable ads, which consist primarily of auto-playing videos, noises, things that flash bright lights at you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which are all things I very much dislike.
Yeah.
Because if I'm on a website that I don't usually go to and they have a autoplay anything, I just leave and never to return.
Or if it delays content, that was the other thing too.
Yeah, that one's annoying.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't you think there could be like almost kind of like a little quasi net neutrality issue with that?
But we don't have net neutrality. Oh,
yeah.
Well, we'll see.
Well, all right. Ad neutrality. Let's call it Chrome-based ad neutrality, whether or not Google is going to be, because, you know, they've got to be doing some sort of, I mean, is the whole thing done on heuristics or is it on based on some sort of a database? Yeah, do you know?
Right.
Will it have an update? Or does it phone the mothership in real time when an ad comes across? Does it phone the mothership and go, hey, so-and-so wants in. Are they okay? You know? And
yeah, some sort of whitelisting system.
So yeah, I think that's going to be, you know, we're going to be able to learn a lot about, you know, just exactly how that works. If that's the case, you know, one of the big issues with a lot of the ad content is, if you happen to be on what they call a metered connection, you know, where you have a limited amount of bandwidth in a month, you know, kind of referring back to the HughesNet, conversation we had, you know, when a video loads in the sidebar, you just blew, I don't know, what, a meg worth of data?
Maybe, yeah. You know? You can only load 5,000 or 6,000 of those before you go through all your data.
Yeah. And for people who surf a lot, you know, because I know they won't run automatically. You can't run, if you're a web designer and you are trying to get a video to run automatically in the web app of a, you know, in a web-based web browser or a mobile-based web browser, that content will not load automatically for that reason, you know.
Yep.
Because people were complaining. They're going, hey, it's all this stuff that loads into my phone that I didn't ask for. And so if you've ever wondered, you know, if our listeners ever wondered why when they go, you know, to a website that's got video on it, why the video won't automatically launch, that's why, because the mobile providers won't let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Facebook got in trouble for doing that a while back.
Mm-hmm.
They were auto-playing videos on the smartphone app, and that would kill people's data connections.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, you know, I'll tell you the truth. I don't, you know, and I think I've actually looked for a way, and maybe you guys know, is there a way to disable autoplay, even in the computer-based version, you know, of Facebook, to disable it previewing a video when you scroll across it? Do you know?
I don't use Facebook, so.
I go on there like 3 or 4 times a year.
You guys are Facebook elitists or anti-Facebook elitists, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a good reason for it.
That's okay. Well, I'll tell you the truth.
I personally
blame Facebook for the outcome of the election. I'm just here to say. Yeah.
All right.
Well, I mean, that's where a lot of the, and I hate to use the term fake news, but we'll just call it faux news. A lot of the faux news was propagated across Facebook. So it's, I think it's something that people got to be really, really careful about is don't believe anything you see on Facebook, you know,
or at least figure out how you're trying or how they're trying to manipulate you so you can make an informed decision.
Yeah. You know, unless it's a video of a monkey with a football and, you know, then
it's probably cats, you know? Which is really the true purpose of the internet is to distribute, you know, cat photos
to what do they call enhance cat culture, feline culture.
Yes.
Yeah. That's great. So, all right.
You're got a, well, there's not too much time left, but
if
you have a quick question, call in 963-2976.
I had a lot of fun with Facebook Live over the weekend. I was at a concert down at Red Rocks. I did a lot of Facebook Live, and let's see, I got one of my videos has 223 views. Another one has 100. I mean, if you want to get stuff seen, I had one from Red Rocks at 184 views. The other one's at 112. If you want to get stuff seen, that is the way to do it. It gets people's attention.
All right.
Yeah. So
have to try that.
All right.
You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer with Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Jacob Sarber with Roaring Fork Help Desk and Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, thanks a lot, Matt.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Have a great week, everyone.
Yep. Talk to you next week.